Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. January 13, 2020. My thoughts on Twitter, the 13th of January 2020. In the last 6 months, there were a staggering number of violent attacks directly targeting Jews. Our Lauder, president of the World Jewish Congress. We wrote about this in all of our materials. For those who follow us, the tsunami of antisemitism doesn't come as a surprise, it was foretold. The USA presidential election, in case Trump wins, may become the start of a left-wing revolution. Just like Hitler came to power in Germany, so the left will seize power in America by storming the White House. This will be followed by an extreme left government, as with Obama, and will proceed along the same natural scenario. You can ascend spiritually if the creator and the meaning of life is more important to you than complaints against other people. Otherwise you will remain in your beastly existence. Imagine, you are living in Babylon when Abraham's group appears and asserts that you must love one another as you love yourself. You hate them and want to kick them out of Babylon. They understand that they must leave Babylon. What will you do then? Are you ready to join them? The choice is yours. Every person, according to the root of his soul, is obligated to rise above corporeal disturbances, which are not disturbances, but conditions for the soul's development, and to aspire to unity despite the reciprocal rejections. All nations, the whole Babylon, must rise above its egoism and perform the work of correction. This is today's condition. And we act as Abraham, who said, "Whoever is with the Creator, is with me." This is that same Babylon and the same challenges, but in a modern form. During the last exile, the nation of Israel had no awareness of its spiritual mission. The science of Kabbalah was concealed. This was a preparatory period, sometimes more inner or surrounding light, and sometimes less, and humanity was drawn this way or that, respectively. If we don't succeed in disseminating the method of unity, a new world war will befall the world, after which it will take centuries for humanity to recover and get itself together to implement the correction. The end of correction has to be realized in this world. This world does not exist. The spiritual form that now appears before us as the material world must be such, so the process of correction would begin and end in it. When we complete the correction on the degree of this world, it will rise to the spiritual degree. American Jews think that emancipation and assimilation will help them dissolve in American society and thus eliminate antisemitism. But history teaches that this leads to none other than our own extermination. Salvation lies in rising above this world. We exist in this world, but in it, we must attain our spiritual predestination. What matters is the goal for which we come closer to each other and the goal for which we grow distant from each other. Closeness or separation can be judged only in relation to the goal of creation. What do I need to fix? You must be glad that you see your shortcomings against the background of the 10. I am looking for how I differ from the 10, from the friends, and what I need to fix in order to become equal to them. I always discover what I am lacking to become as one friend or another, and the envy of the sages increases wisdom because there is something to strive for and something to ask for. So, we all work until our requests turn into real prayer. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah Lesson, December 10, 2019, the conditions for raising oneself above one's circle. The largest portal breaking Israel News published my new article Why Holocaust Might Happen Again. No, it is not Jewish hysteria. The signals of an extremely dangerous situation for Jews similar to the time preceding the Holocaust are out there, this time in America, where historically high numbers of violent anti-Semitic attacks are reported every day. Deliberate assaults upon Jews only for being Jews have become particularly recurrent in New York. Hate crime monitoring groups call the state an epidemic. In fact, 2019 was the worst year on record for anti-Semitic incidents in New York City, around 214 complaints compared to 182 cases the previous year, according to police data. These make up roughly half of all hate crimes reported in the city. The slow-rolling pogrom in New York. In a recent letter sent to New York City Governor Andrew Cuomo, four Jewish lawmakers urged him to declare a state of emergency amid the spate of anti-Semitic offenses, expressing great concern that it is no longer safe to be identifiably Orthodox in the state of New York. "We cannot shop, walk down a street, send our children to school, or even worship in peace." They described the menace against the American Jewish community as a slow-rolling pogrom, and added, "Anti-Semitic hate crimes have grown to frighteningly high numbers over the past several months. Identifiably Orthodox Jews in and around areas we represent have been targeted with a rash of violence unseen in modern history. Orthodox Jews are being regularly assaulted, menaced, stabbed and murdered in increasing numbers. I cannot view the current situation heedlessly. During the last decade I've warned through media articles and books about the threat of a potential new show on American soil in light of the growing anti-Jewish sentiment from multiple fronts. Only a few years ago, when I met Jewish leaders to express my concern, they reacted with incredulity. Now their perspective has changed." Former Democratic New York State Assemblyman Dov Hikind has questioned, "Why are Jews being assaulted in a way they were assaulted in pre-Nazi Germany?" and said, "If you were to ask Jews 20 years ago if a Holocaust could happen in America, you would get a uniform answer: it's impossible, not in America." Well, that's not the case anymore. The increased recognition of American anti-Semitism is a positive first step toward addressing the problem and unearthing its solution. I expressed this in my new book The Jewish Choice, Unity or Anti-Semitism, p. 190, as follows. Clearly, the 20th century marked a new level in the cruelty of humankind, especially toward Jews. Having experienced the Holocaust, we cannot be certain that it will not happen again. If it happened once, it can happen twice, or thrice, and the globally mounting hatred toward Jews and toward the State of Israel proves that the fear of a second Holocaust is well founded. This, once again, reminds us of the necessity to return to Abraham's method of uniting above our differences, and of our duty to set an example to the world by so doing. As a foremost Kabbalist Rav Yehuda Ashlag wrote in the early 1950s, the world erroneously considers Nazis a particular offshoot of Germany. In truth, it is the offshoot of a democracy and socialism that were left without manners and justice. Thus, all the nations are the same in this, and there is no hope at all that Nazism will perish with the victory of the Allies, for tomorrow the Anglo-Saxons will adopt Nazism, since they, too, live in a world of Democrats and Nazis. The writings of the last generation. The Jewish duty to prevent a new tragedy. Our Jewish nation was forged upon the ideology of mercy and brotherly love, when strangers agreed to unite and bond as equals. We became a nation when we pledged to be as one man with one heart. Since then, it has been our duty to maintain this connection and pass it on, namely to be a light unto the nations, not out of entitlement, but to serve others. Therefore, the duty of the Jewish people is to execute and set an example of love of others to the world. Over time, we have abandoned the unique connection we once cultivated and became self-centered. But now that globalization has made us interdependent, humanity is seeking a way to live together peacefully but cannot find one. Until Jews relearn how to be as united as before, the world lacks access to the knowledge of how to do this and will continue to blame us for its woes. Their unfulfilled demand is unfailingly projected as anti-Semitism, as a mounting pressure, until we change our course of action toward cohesion rather than division. So being a light unto nations is a practical assignment. Make peace among ourselves and the world will also be at peace. Unity for good. The world is always examining what we do, so whenever we display disharmony, it serves as a bad example that becomes reflected in the world. If we quarrel among each other, we project this disharmony onto other nations and they also begin to fight. But deep within they sense that their fight somehow originated with us, just as they express in the forms of mounting rancor toward us. Our problem is that we unite only when a common enemy threatens us. If we would turn unity into a conscious process, we would require no dark outcome of a new Holocaust to direct us toward it. Thus, the pressing times we face will decisively demand us to make a fateful decision. Our Jewish choice is whether to remain divided and at odds and suffer the consequences, or to reverse our attitude toward one another, develop mutual responsibility and care, and spread it to the world. If we wisely choose the latter, a new reality of trust, friendship, and mutual support will unfold before us, in America and worldwide. My new book, The Jewish Choice, Unity or Anti-Semitism, is now available at Amazon and Leitman Kabbalah Publishers. Meaning of Life, Part 3. Is it possible to obscure the question about the meaning of life? Remark: today, life expectancy has increased fourfold. 3,500 years ago, the average life expectancy in ancient Egypt was 22 years. My comment: today we cannot understand that. At 22, life doesn't even begin yet. Question: in those days, 15-20% of the population died an unnatural death because wars were constantly waged. In our time, of course, life has become better. However, on the other hand, half the world's population takes antidepressants. Is this all caused in people by nature? Answer: yes, our nature, which leads us to the goal. That is, you have everything except the main thing: what are you living for? In ancient times, a person in their 20s might not have thought about the purpose of life. But when you live 80 years, then you already have a problem. Half of your life you think, soon I will die, and what did I live for? What's the point? It is worse than death. Remark: even the fact that everything ends raises the question of what is the meaning in life if everything ends? My comment: we then need drugs in order not to think about that, and this is what humanity invented. Question: drugs are now legalized all over the world. Do you think it is not accidental? Answer: of course, it is not accidental. A person does not want to think about their end, but since these thoughts do not leave a person, one wants to somehow fill this void. Question: does it mean that the Creator gives us suffering on one hand, but on the other hand, He allows drugs so that we would use them? Answer: it is for us to see that this is not a solution either. It is not a solution. Question: so drugs will not help obscure the inner question about the meaning of life? Answer: in no way. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, the 14th of January 2019. Freedom of Choice, Part 3. Why does an individual need the influence of the environment? Question: why is everything created so that I, as an individual, am influenced by society? What does this give me? How can I use it for my spiritual development? Answer: the fact is, with the help of the surrounding society, I can control myself. If I am a closed system and I can do nothing with myself and inside myself, then no matter how I spin, like a dog chasing its tail, none of this will work because I have certain properties, qualities, and if I use them, then it will be the same me. How can I make myself go out of myself and exert influence on me from the outside? Here is where the science of Kabbalah shows us a very interesting principle. It says that if I have a clear, selective attitude to the environment, this is good for me and that is bad. I want this to affect me more and that to affect me less, then in this way I choose the sources of influence on me, sort them, and put myself under their influence. Thus, I control myself through the surrounding society. Maybe I need 2 hours to be influenced by one group of people, and 3 hours by another one, or to listen to some report on television, read an article in a newspaper, or surf the internet. I must constantly monitor what external influences to choose because I create myself in this way. This is the process of my creation of myself. This is what matters. This is my freedom of will. Such an opportunity, such freedom is given to us by the Creator. From CAB TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, the 2nd of April 2019.